Hello folks, it's your friend Bernie here and welcome to another Visionaries podcast, which is one of the podcast tracks on here on the co-working values. And Visionaries is a series we do with Igor and Helga over at Ancards, where we go around the world. Jose and myself have done episodes with people from all over the world who have unique stories and circumstances in which they started their co-working spaces and built unique communities. And this week we're with Shamina, who is in Koa and Kresh, which is in Alexandria in Virginia, in the United States. And it's another story of people that built and opened a co-working space by accident, in air quotes, during the lockdown, because they found a need and they knew and believed that other people would have that need too. And in this case, it's a co-working space with a full-blown creche, so people can bring their children to work and have them cared for as it all goes on. And you'll hear, this is possibly one of the best conversations I've had, because it's not just about co-working, it's about being a parent, a business owner, a mother, a partner, and all those things that make a very, very human conversation. And I think that's one of the things that makes a community work best in the world. So I'm going to hand over to myself hosting this, and Shamina, thank you very much for your time and attention. Take care. Hello, folks, and welcome to this week's edition of the Co-Working Values podcast. I'm very excited for another one of our Ancards Visionaries podcast, where Helga jets us around the world to find people that are doing great things in their little co-workers or big co-working spaces. I don't know what size it is, sorry. So we've got Shamina from, is it Alexandra? I should have looked that up before.
It is Alexandria, Virginia.
Yep. Is it in Virginia?
It is.
Okay, so look, normally I start this by saying, what are you known for and what would you like to be known for? And I missed that bit out in my excitement and self-congratulatory of getting it right. So what are you known for and what would you like to be known for?
Oh, personally or as a co-working space?
Personally.
Personally, what am I known for? I would say if you really know me, you would know that I'm a foodie. So I'm known for loving food, cooking food, all things food. I would love to be known as a well-balanced mother, professional, change maker.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
I so have to send you a link to Better Things. That's what Sam Fox in that TV show is. She does it all at the same time. What is so? Obviously, you have a co-working space, which is why you're here. And what is, how did you get into that? Because it's not just some desks. Describe the whole scene to us.
Oh, okay. Let me paint the picture. Beautiful space here in Alexandria, Virginia, which is right outside of the Washington, D.C. Area. We're considered part of the metro area. How I got here, so height of the pandemic, we have three children, 18, now 6, and about to be 5. So the last two, those are my hurry up and duns, is what I call them. And they were at home, I think at the time, going on 2 and going on 3. So I'm there, I'm working from home. My husband is as well. He's in tech. I'm a government worker at the time. So, you know, just trying to make it. And there I was on these, you know, on calls, and so were my children. And, you know, you were sharing with me, you had your little one earlier. I don't know if you remember the potty training days, right?
We're really lucky in our family, because he got ill once. He potty trained in like 48 hours. And that's not because my wife hid loads of stuff. He just sort of saw the potty, got it, and was off. So, but I do remember like following him around and stuff like that. So two at the same time must be pretty hardcore.
Well, first of all, I want to redo. Can I also have your, like, can I want an Ollie too. I want to redo on my parent, on my motherhood journey then. So no, they were there, and I wish I had this like big, deep story to tell you, but essentially what happened, I would be on these Teams calls. I would, you know, Teams, Zoom, whatever it was, I'd be on these work calls. And as there were potty training, where my sort of desk was, we have a powder room right downstairs. So obviously, even though both my husband and I were at home, the girls would only want mommy, right? Naturally. And so, you know, when kids are potty training, you always tell them, okay, you don't sort of, you know, do it yourself. You let me know. And boy, did they let me know. They let me know and everyone that I was speaking to on those work calls know. So that's really what did it. They just be in the background saying, mama, wipe my tush, right? And just everyone heard it multiple times, right? And I just became so embarrassed. So that's it. Like, I didn't want to be like the embarrassed mom, right, anymore. So yeah, I said, I can't, I told my husband, I said, I can't do this anymore. Cause I was about 17, I think 16, 17 years in to my career. And I said, this is crazy. Like, I don't want to stop working, but I can't keep doing this. And so I said, I just want focused work time, honey. I just want to be able to focus. I want to be able to work. And like, I don't want YouTube watching our children, right? Like, because YouTube was the babysitter. They were watching YouTube, but YouTube was watching them. And I looked around and I didn't see a model that like fit our life. So we built it. Yeah.
Had you ever heard of co-working before?
No. Ironically, no. No, I hadn't. I hadn't. Yeah.
And how did you know what to do? Like, going from working in a, you know, a career in, I'm going to say institution, but you can tell me if that's not the right word. And then to starting your own business, how was that leap?
I think it was exactly that, right? It was a leap, I think. So I'm prior military, right? I'll say that. So proud U.S. veteran. And after so many years in the federal government, I feel that even at a young age, you're given certain responsibilities, right? There's a trust there. So I think being able to be audacious and think that you can do anything, it's not that far of a leap, right? If at 19, 20 years old, you're in the military, the responsibility that you have, it's not, fast forward years later, it's not that much of a leap to say, oh, I see a problem. How do I solve it? And I think that was my, that's just who I am as an individual anyway. So in regards to business, no, I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. Never thought that I had this sort of like business mind. I was just tired. And I was just like tired of being tired, right? I just knew I couldn't keep doing this juggling game and this balance, this crazy trying to figure it all out. And I, something had to give.
So is there something like that? You weren't in like a Navy SEAL or anything, were you? Like, sometimes I talk to people when they're like done something amazing and they've kept it quiet till this part of the conversation. But like, is there something in the beginning of your military training that like, or, and not is there, but like what in the beginning of your military training helped you start this co-working space?
I don't think that there was anything like particular that I could point out. I think it's just knowing that there were things that were presented to me in front of me that I was able to do and accomplish, essentially. So at the time I joined the military, true story, Bernie, I was 93 pounds. It's documented. So here I am. I think I was about 4'11", 93 pounds, joining the military. And I mean, obviously, anyone in the States will know, we all joke around, it's not like the Air Force training, especially back in the day, it was necessarily the toughest training, granted. But being able to just accomplish things that you never, you know, thought possible, deploying, right? Again, like having a certain amount of responsibility. I was in finance. You call it a finance troop. I was a finance troop at the time. So, I mean, looking back at it at 20, 21, being in charge of essentially like multi-billion-dollar payroll, all of these different things, wow. It just gives you these little seeds of course it's possible. of course you can do it. Why wouldn't you be able to?
That's really interesting. So what did So how easy was it finding the building?
It was not. Oh my gosh. Oh, this was, I would say, the most difficult and heartbreaking part of the process was just finding the right space. Because, so backing up, Bernie, it's just my husband and I, right? This is it. There's no big investors. There's no sort of someone guiding us. It was me just telling my husband, hey, honey, I want a focus workspace. And I think other women would benefit from this, essentially. And just going from there. As you said, how easy was it to find the building, right? You want to ask me that? Okay. I think, so actually we had a particular place in mind in the beginning that we just thought would be so great, so wonderful of a place. And that completely fell through. Like, my heart was set on this place. We just knew that it was going to work. And at the sort of, not very last moment, but we were told by the broker at the time that there's another company that wants the space and you're not going to be able to compete. You don't have the experience. You don't have the years behind you, the reputation or the money to be able to compete with the company that wants the space. So basically, you should give it up. And I remember being so just heartbroken, right? Well, I mean, to be fair, everything he said was true, right? We didn't have the years of experience. Who were we? No prior like business experience per se, right? We had careers and all of that, but no, we never had a business before. Definitely didn't have like the financial backing of this great company or whatever. So everything was the truth, but it still hurt, right? Nonetheless. So after crying on my couch for a while, I figured it out. I figured it out. And then we just started the search again and then landed on this beautiful building and this space and just doing our best, you know, to do right by it. But so we're mid-sized. You had asked. We're mid-sized. So we have a little bit. We have 12,312 square feet. So, yeah.
How long did it take to get from like I found a building to here we are?
So we found the building, I want to say, in September of 2022. The lease was finally signed, I want to say the end of, call it February 1st of 2023. And then we moved in about a week later and then opened the doors June of 2023. So what is it? October, November, December, January, like February, almost 4 or 5 months of between signing like the letter of intent, going back and forth, looking at the lease, the terms, you know, all these different things to finally get in the door.
Can you say a bit about how it feels to be a mother running a co-working space that's including children? Because it's more than just, you know, it's not like you set up a business. Oh, hey, honey, let's get into the real estate industry and serviced office space. There's a, you know, we were talking before we came on. There's a lot more meaning and intent than, which is, you know, obvious to people listening to this. But what does it mean to like be able to enable parents and women and take care of children and all that little element?
Yeah, no, thank you. It means the world to me. Like I said, and I love that you said that because that was the other part of it, right? Like wanting home to be home again, the same thing. Like we're blessed with a house that has enough space that I could have a home. I have my home office. My husband has his own home office. So we have enough space for it, right? But there's a part of it where I just want my home to be my home again. right? I want that separation. I want that separation, you know, between church and state. I want that separation to be able to come in, make dinner, not see papers, you know, around the place, not to have. So I don't know about you, Bernie, but what I ended up working more when I work from home. So then like my laptop would be on and open and people would still call like after hours, after work hours. So you still hear the ringing of it. I mean, I always had a work phone, but then now you hear the laptop ringing. So then you feel as though, oh, I felt like I have to go answer this, right? But it's 6:30, it's 7 p.m. Why are you
it's
doing
really, it? It's really tricky, like, especially in that era, it's really tricky to make those boundaries. And I was lucky in, I mean, I still work too much and, you know, I work for myself, but the people I work with on projects are deliciously boundaried, you know, in a very positive, friendly, healthy way. But I was, I imagine, and you can definitely tell me out loud if I'm wrong, but like when you know, in your job, because the whole country's, you know, in turmoil because of the pandemic and lockdown and everything like that, it's not like you're, you know, running a furniture shop. It's national service, isn't it?
Right. It is. And so I think with that, when you're in this sort of like position of service, you have a healthy respect for what's going on big picture. So it becomes less about you, if that makes sense. But then at the same time, that's what I think you struggle with, creating healthy boundaries, or I love what you just said, delicious boundaries. Because when you're thinking, like you've been taught and you've been trained to think outside of yourself and to put like the mission first, it's hard for you to create boundaries, right? Because it's like, where do you end? Where does service begin, right? And it doesn't even matter if you have this super serious job or it's just a sense of duty that becomes ingrained in you and was ingrained in me for, you know, since I was 20 years old. I'm 43 now, right? So all these years of thinking that, okay, it's the big picture, it's the big picture, it's about serving. You don't. I will speak for myself. I do not have healthy boundaries.
So while we're on healthy and unhealthy boundaries, so there's everything you just said, and then this term, I imagine you use it in the States as well. There's like the motherhood tax as well. So there's, do you know that phrase?
I've heard that phrase. I probably should know a little bit more.
It's like everything that comes with being a mother. So like, I've got to learn about it more working with Gemma and Caroline at the Breaker Collective. But there's it's a bit like, in, as we were saying, in the pandemic, you know, men started to work from home, and men and women, mothers, you know, became work from home and childcare. So there's like, they had two jobs working from home and men had one.
Right. Absolutely.
And like, no. like in our house, you know, we're like a democracy, but Ollie will go to my wife first and she will wake up before I do. And even though I try very hard to do that, folks, but you know, he'll cough and he's down the corridor. He'll cough in the night in a strange way. And she's like,
right. No. And thank God for the world for mothers, right? Right. Because that can absolutely sleep through anything. That's so funny. Like we're going through flu season here. And that's true. Like, so we leave the bedroom door open so we can hear our girls just for that reason. That's so funny. So in case I hear a certain cough or a certain, you know, like we know the difference. We don't sleep the same. But yeah, definitely during that time, it was, you know, the girls would come to mommy, right? And my husband, try as he would say, you know, hey, mom's working, dad's here too. You can ask me for things. But it's just sort of like that natural role to come to mommy, whether you're looking for snacks, if you're looking for help on the potty, if you want me to change the channel. Thank God for Google Voice. We train them how to just like press the button and say Paw Patrol, right? Just press here and YouTube will take you. So they did catch on fast to that. But yeah, I think I shared with you even before we got on, like making all of the meals, right? So now you're home. So I'm trying to figure out breakfast and lunch and dinner and laundry. And, you know, afterwards, after you did log off because you felt guilty because most of the day you weren't around them, it becomes, well, now we have to cuddle. Now we have to talk. Now we have to, you know, have story time and all these things. And, you know, let me say this though. So we have our 18-year-old as well, right? And Aiden was born, and then I left the military shortly thereafter at that time. And, you know, I missed a lot with him in the beginning. Like, I missed the first steps. I missed him calling me mommy, right? I missed all of those things. Well, my mom, sorry, took care of him. So he called her mom, right? And these things while I was working and building my career. So being home with these, our little ones, the last two, it was wonderful. Like, I got to see their personality. I got to, you know, see the first steps. I got the mama and the mommies, even though they said data first, right? I'm not resentful at all about that, I guess, but I got to be around them and learn my children in such a beautiful way. And so it wasn't just about having focused work time. It also showed me the flexibility of being a working professional, being a working mom, but also having, I love this term now, having this delicious balance, right, of being able to just be around them, right? I didn't want to do the whole daycare thing anymore traditionally and drop them off somewhere. I don't know how it is in the, you know, how it was in the UK or how it is in Spain, but in this Washington, D.C. area, traffic is horrible, right? It's the commute is terrible in the mornings. And so it's always this thing of like, you're having to like drive depending on where you live, drive to drop off at daycare, right? Then you get to work. And then now you're like driving, trying to hurry up in time to get there, right? To pick them up. And so you're in this frenzied state. And I knew that was something that I didn't want for myself as well. So Kowo and Crash, like being here in the space, I can have work time. I can go down, you know, the hall if I want to see them, have lunch with them, speak, you know what I mean? Just see them, check in
on
them.
It's super precious. Like when we moved from London to here, there's just so much more time because the intensity of a city like London or New York, and imagine Washington, is significantly different to here. And I remember a friend Mark, when Ollie was first born, said, you know, just pay attention because it goes so fast. And, you know, I mean, that's enough on its own, isn't it? And you need more time to pay attention. You need more headspace to be able to pay attention. And you need to have that time to be able to pay attention to your children evolving.
Right. No, absolutely. And we see it now because, like I said, so we have one that's in a senior in high school, right? And then we have one that's in kindergarten. Right. So I'm dealing with like college applications and ABCs all in the same evening. Right. It's crazy.
And one last question is with the co-working and Crash, this is a really weird question. Like, how did you know it was going to happen? How did you know it was going to work? Like, did you, because it's a huge thing to get a building. Opening a nursery on its own is one thing. Opening a co-working space on another is like there's a lot of moving parts, is what I'm trying to say.
How did I know? Well, I'm a person of faith. That's just it, right? So I prayed. I prayed about it, and I had a sense of peace. I mean, obviously, I did my market research as well, but. I don't know. It made sense to me. Like, this is an issue. I figured that there are enough families, enough women that were sick and tired of being sick and tired, that wanted to be the best professional that they could be as well as be the best mommy that they could be. And that's what I essentially I'm banking on, right? That they're, I don't need 50 million, right? I don't even need a million. I just need enough, right? According to my build out to make it make sense. And I think that, right, if you build it, they will come. and that's just been my philosophy, that it's going to work because it's a legitimate issue. And I'm working really hard at solving an issue, and in doing so, trying my best to exceed people's expectations.
That is a beautiful way to end. Where can we find you online and anywhere else you want us to be found?
Oh, okay. We're at www.kowocrush.com is our website. We're kowo.crush on Instagram, Facebook. Those are our handles.
We can put all those links in the show notes, folks. Thank you for a beautiful interview today. I really enjoyed that and the other 4 hours we spent chatting beforehand. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to your nearest search engine and type in European Co-Working Assembly or Co-Working Values Podcast, you can find us all here. And there's lots of interesting, I think they're interesting anyway, because, you know, me and Emily and Jose have done them, about people, all the running community-led, community-focused, neighborhood-focused, parent-focused co-working spaces all over the globe. And wherever you are, be careful out there. It is a jungle.